Blog Talk Radio.
Heavy attack on my job,
ever since I had to stand up for righteousness' sake for sexual harassment, I've been going through for the last several months. And I'm just asking God to move me. I'm just praying for a door to be open.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. When you say you had to stand up for sexual harassment, what was that saying? How did that stand up?
I really didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know if I was supposed to go to the person, which was my manager. I took the route and went to HR, and as a result, I have a whole department that, well, a lot of the females, a lot of his colleagues, really, I've been going through a lot of persecution and just a lot of some retaliation and just a lot of people that just hate me now.
Okay, well, you do know that that's going to happen. You did kind of expect that. You kind of took a lion by the tail.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect it because I'd never been through this before, so I didn't really expect that the persecution was going to be so traumatic.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do, because I don't know all of the details of it, so I'm just going to pray for you. We're going to pray you through, sis, but I'm going to tell you right now, if it was going to be for you to leave, then you probably should have left before all hell broke loose. You know, a lot of times we make a stand and we act like the devil's not going to hit back. And so I just want you to understand for the future, if you were going to leave now, you're praying for God to move you, then it probably would have been wise if you wanted to keep the peace to pray for him to move you first. So you're going to have to ride out the point that I'm saying to you, beloved, is you've got to ride out the storm, because you created a firestorm, and now you have to ride it out. When you deal with institutions and you take on institutions, you may give a name, but believe me, the company, the organization, fights with its full force. And so you're always going to have that. Now, when you say leave, you're saying you want to get a reassignment. Is that what I'm praying for?
I just want to be out of the organization, period.
So have you started putting feelers out for another job?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we're not praying for you to survive in that organization. We're actually praying for you to get another job. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to pray for your peace because your soul is very weary. I can hear the fatigue and the terror in your soul, and I'm going to speak into that situation and command the waters to peace be still over you in Jesus' name, that until God gets you out, that you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And Father God, we thank you for Elisa and her stand. First of all, we command that spirit of torment and tyranny to cease and desist every tactic and every maneuver. Satan, we rise up against you in our seat of authority, and we shut down your maneuvering of this institution. We command this machine to stop today. Now, God, I call peace in. I dispatch the angels of God in that place. I pull them out of anonymity and out of passivity, and I put them on divine assignment to cover you. We cover you with the blood of the Lamb. I command the torments to stop. I command the terrorists to leave. I shut down every work of darkness. And God, my word is, if that man is guilty, we remove him from his faith. And we remove him from his position today in Jesus' name. And we vindicate the righteous according to the word of the living God. Let it be so, and let it be today in Jesus' name. Now, I calm these waters for you by the spirit of the living God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, Terry, it's your turn. How can I pray for you?
Yes.
Terry, you still on? Okay.
I had to unmute my phone. I'm asking for prayer for it seems like my walk with the Lord hasn't been the same. I can't, don't know if I can say if I've been stagnant or I've been spiritual weakness, but my relationship with the Lord hasn't been the same like it used to be. And I just miss my zeal that I had, and I just miss that so much, you know, and I feel like it's affected me because I'm not where I used to be, and I just miss where I was at. It's not that I backslid or anything like that. It's just that my walk ain't the same like it used to be. And
Okay, Terry, so we're going to walk through this. Now, listen, what do you do for God? Are you, like, do you attend the church? Are you in ministry? What do you do for the Lord?
Yeah, I attend a church. I am a minister as well.
Uh-huh. Are you a minister in your church?
The church, yeah, I'm a minister.
In the church?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you done that?
Well, the church I'm at now, I've been there over a year now. About a year and a half, maybe.
And then you were in another church before then, is that right?
Yes, I was kind of like visiting. Yeah, I was kind of like visiting for a while.
So you were floating for a little bit. Is that what was happening?
Yes, yes.
You were floating to find your place.
Yes.
Okay. And so that means you visited a lot of other churches?
Yes, yes.
Okay. You do understand that you just answered your own issue. When you are floundering and floating like that, you're kind of like that rolling stone. You're picking up moss from everywhere. You're picking up a little from this and a little from that and a little from something else. It's one thing to say that God has called me out of a church because he wants to relocate me. It's another thing to just get up and leave and say, I want to explore the terrain of the kingdom. And so I want you to know you picked up a lot. But also, how long have you been a minister? Because I need to get clear on something.
Since 2010.
So you've been in ministry for three years, is that right?
Well, actually longer than that, but I was ordained in 2010.
Okay, and when were you ordained? Because that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to go back through the week.
August 29th of 2010.
And that was was that in another church?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And so you were a member of another church. You got ordained. And then something happened.
Well, actually, this kind of happened years ago as far as my walk with the Lord wasn't the same. This goes back like about 10 years ago.
Okay, so here's what I want to know. I'm going to tell you right now what I am hearing from the Spirit of God. Number one, you are a zealot. You were really excited, as people are. When you first start coming into God, you're all enthusiastic. Anything God wants, God gets. Anything he says, you hear and obey. And then you meet the machine. Then you meet all the old gods of the kingdom, and you start learning the rules. Now, I'm going to tell you, you and God, somewhere along the line, you took a blow. You faced off with something that was not on your level, and you took a blow. And you're still walking around with that arrow in your spirit. And it has been drenching you, and it's been suffocating you from the moment it happened. And it also, God says that it came through the door of advice. Someone gave you some ministry advice, and that thing, you acted on it, whether or not they were credible or whether or not it was timely. That remains to be seen. But you acted on that advice, and that thing opened up a can of worms against you. You began to do that, and you were new. Now, I don't know how long you were at the other church, but I'm picking up from the Spirit of God. You got unfinished business there. You have to close some doors. There are a lot of doors that got opened. You didn't mean to open them. But when you're new in God, you think you know everything because your feelings become your knowledge. And that is what happens with all newbies. Your feelings become your knowledge, become your wisdom. What you feel is what is real, because you don't have the foundation of the logos of God to filter things, to measure out what's going on. Everything is feeling. Everything is output. And so you grew in that. Now, you have a genuine call. I want to go on record to say that I think they ordained you a little early. And I think you have to go back and get a great mentor. I would love to see you get a great mentor. And I would love to see you listen to your mentor and submit to it. And you need actual classes. And I don't mean classes on how to do Joe Blow's ministry. Classes on how the kingdom works. Because when you bump up against kingdom protocols, God won't defend you.
Okay.
He, Okay, you understand he can't defend you because God's got a mandate to protect his house and to protect his kingdom. So you have a genuine call. You know, and the great, to be honest with you, Terry, if you go and walk God's way, you have a very, very high call. And that is why God is messing with you, because God wants you to play by the rules. Because if your call is to a high office, he is hard on you, and he will distance himself until you get it right, because he cannot endorse error, he cannot endorse a lie. Your call, the reason God is distancing himself is because he needs you to handle some things.
Okay.
And he needs you to go back and fix up some stuff. And so I think that if you go back to, and I know that while I'm talking, the Holy Ghost is opening those pages to you. And so you need to go back and fix up some stuff, whether you misunderstood, whether you didn't understand. But the only reason God distances himself is because you've run aground of his system. And he does have one. It may not be the church institution system, but the kingdom of God has its own rules and its own protocols. You know, the Bible talks on several occasions about how God will pull himself away from people if they have gone a different way. And I feel by the Holy Spirit that you and God are going to talk. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you a three-day channel with God. You're going to get a three-day window where God is going to talk to you and bring back the moment when you and he had that clash. Because sometimes we, in our self-defense, we shut down what God is saying, and because we have to be right. So I'm going to give you that three-day window because, son, you are called to the bishopric, and God is not going to have you playing with his rules. God's not going to have you messing around the things he wants to do. And that's not something that's going to happen Monday. You're about 12 to 14 years out. If you get in the right path and you get under the right leader, God is going to put you in that office, and he cannot do it if you don't respect and regard the existing system and the existing order he has. So I'm going to pray for that. Father, thank you for Terry. Whoever's phone is screeching, would you handle that for me? Father, thank you for Terry. Thank you for his love, his purpose. Thank you for the mama that blessed him, Lord, and got him what he had to do. Thank you for the development of his soul. And now, God, I'm asking that you introduce him to your powers that be and how they work. And I'm asking, God, that you open up the window and that you revive his memory, Father God, so that he can go back into his memory and see when this thing happened, when this break occurred, and, God, show him how to repair it and so you can restore his fellowship. And then, God, get him under the tutelage he needs to be prepared for the great and awesome calling on his life. And, God, I thank you for empowering him to know the right person and not to follow people according to the flesh and not to follow them according to their charisma and appeal, but to be ordered of the Lord. God, I thank you for this man. But right now, I'm blessing you to open up his understanding to go back in time. He needs to go back in time to repair this thing so that he can go forward to fulfill the awesome destiny on his life. In Jesus' name, we decree it so and let it be done. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, Terry, I expect you to get back to me and let me know how God is talking. Who's next on the line?
Lakeisha.
Okay, Lakeisha, where are you from?
I'm from Pinehurst, North Carolina.
North Carolina. I do a lot in North Carolina. Y'all guys going to have to round up some money and put me down there. Hallelujah. Who was the gentleman that said something?
Apostle Price, I'm Jerry Maldonado. I met you through my pastor, Emil Cedeno, in San Pedro, California. You spent a week with us.
I did.
Some years ago, and so I'm here for prayer.
Well, Jerry, I do remember you and your name, and I was just with Pastor Sabino, what, was it a year and a half ago? He and I visited when I was back out in your neck of the woods. So it's good, and I was just talking about you guys over dinner 2 days ago. And so I am glad to hear you. I'm going to take in Leticia because we did call her out first, and then we're going to talk to you because you are a great man of God. I remember how well you guys took care of me then, and truly you were a turning point in my ministry. So this is great. Leticia, let's talk.
Yes.
What can I do for you?
I was calling because I'm 36 years old, and I have been – in different careers, and it seems that every time I get into a career and every time I work my way up in a career, I always lose my job. Something happens or I lose my job unexpectedly. And I'm just, I guess you would say that I'm at a point right now where I'm just really seeking God, asking him why does this keep happening? I'm frustrated because it keeps setting my family back financially.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is your career, Lakeisha?
Well, right now, I've done some of everything, and I currently work for my church as well. But what I do for my church is really volunteer. But my field is business management, and I'm also working the school systems a lot.
Now, when you say business management, are you a consultant? Are you an executive, administrator? What do you mean? That's a broad
term. Okay, I apologize. It's basically administrative management. And like I said, I've done some of everything because I've never really been able to get my feet in. I've gotten in, but I've not been able to, like, get planted and just grow. And as far as, like, a career is concerned, I've worked for Sylvan Learning Center. I work for a lot of different companies doing staffing, human resources. But like I said, it seems like every time I get to the point where I'm getting some type of stability, something will happen and I'll just lose my job. And it's happened so many times over the past ten years or so, and now I'm just frustrated.
Okay, here's what I want you to do, sweetheart. I'm going to tell you right now, and I know where you are, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to, when you get off this call, I want you to go to drpaulaprice.com. I want you to take my assessment. And here's why I want you to take it, because it's going to tell you how God built you and what your ultimate destiny is. Because it would be great. All you have to do is just drpaulaprice.com, take the assessment. One of my prophet advisors will call you, and we'll set up a 30-minute advisement with you after the fact, and we're going to review it. Once you do that, I'm telling you, we're going to be able to tell you where you fit. But I know right now that you're on the journey of an apostle. And God has you data gathering. He has you gathering this and gathering that and learning these skills and learning those skills. And he has you doing all of those different things because you are going to found a great work for him. Now, you don't like the idea of ministry because as far as you're concerned, they don't make enough money. And the headache and the church not worth it. People get on your nerves. You know how you feel about that thing. And so you're not interested in that. But guess what? You were called to be a marketplace apostle. And God is going to use you amazingly with all of those gifts and talents. Now, before you enter the apostleship, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to get an opportunity to work for a couple of large ministries so you can see the upside of God's kingdom. And they're going to be large, and you're going to be able to do some amazing things, and they're going to fire you. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. That's how it happens.
And they're going to fire you, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you're on that Davidic path. David was the same way. I'm telling you, sweetheart, you have a great, great call, and all you're doing is gathering skills and resources as God gets you filled with the data you need to keep the kingdom. Now, they're going to fire you, but it's going to be an amicable separation unless, of course, your temper gets up because you know you got one. So if you keep your control, you will do well, and you're going to walk out. And when you do, you're going to walk into an opportunity where you're going to take on something huge. God is building some things in you that are amazing. Number one, he's giving you nerves of steel because, you know, you get jittery and you get hot-headed. He's giving you nerves of steel. Secondly, he's building the spirit of a warrior in you that you know how to fight and keep what he has. David had to work for a whole lot of countries, a whole lot of nations before he got ready to rule Israel. You do remember that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay? So your call is such that you have got to learn how to do a couple of things. God's going to make you an ambassador. He's going to make you a diplomat. He's going to make you a builder. He's going to make you a founder. He's going to make you a warrior. And at each step, if you stop taking it personal and start realizing that you're called to the table of the king and the service of the king, you're going to stop seeing yourself as a failure and start seeing yourself on a divine track. So you're going to make some money. And I'm telling you, but your later years, baby, you're going to make a whole lot of money. Your future is so pretty, people would want to buy it. Now, that's how pretty your future is. So you should get excited over what God is doing because that's why you keep losing your jobs. You belong to the king. And see, if God could have told you this 10 years ago, you would have worked with him. But now you're old enough to hear that you are in the sovereign grip of the Almighty. Destiny is training you. Does that speak to you, Lakeisha?
Yes, ma'am.
See, I know. See, he'll tow you up again. You met a man. He takes you up when he gets good and ready too, doesn't he? So here's the thing. That's who you are. And so if nobody else needed to get through on this call today, you did, because God's not going to let you slip through his fingers. Your call is so great, and God wants to start introducing you to the blueprint of your future. And so you're going to do well in life. So I want to get you off of this, the failure thing, and nobody likes me, because that's that persecution spirit that's going to frustrate you. I want you to now realize that you are on the King apostolic track. And so you're going to get about two or three more jobs before you get this other thing. They're going to be short. They're going to be irritating. But they're going to be useful for what you need to do. Start keeping a journal and start chronicling what you're learning, all of the skills that God has you learning. Start chronicling those skills so you're ready to do the work of ministry at the appropriate time. Also, you're going to get something. I see you involved in some sort of legal thing. That is not to take you out. It's to give you the warring resources you need to tackle what God wants you to do. So you're going to stop feeling bad about yourself, because Jesus is ecstatic about you. He is happy. He is having a blast, and he just wants to comfort your soul and deliver you from your past and also the persecution spirit that is dogging your heels, because it's killing your confidence. And God wants you to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Now, did I answer your question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You know your team's back here. You got a big team back here that's excited for you. They are blessing you, sis. You got a great company of witnesses. God is going to do something for you, baby. You are in the right at the right time. So the first thing I'm going to do is take the spirit of lack and deprivation off your life. I speak to the providences in your area, and I command them to open their treasuries to meet your needs in your region. I call the next job in by the spirit of the living God, and I set you back to work for this season. Whether it's 6 months or 6 years, you will do what God wants you to do. And I command this fear of money to leave you today, because you are going to touch the high things. The gold of the kingdom is raining on your sphere right now. As we speak, I see the gold raining down on you. This is your day. If nobody else needs to hear this, this is your time. So stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get up, clean up the house, dust off the kids, go buy a burger, put on some praise, get everybody all bathed up, put the kids in bed early, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to sit before the Lord and get the rest of this world.
Amen.
Because this is your time, beloved. This is your time. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yes. Now, you're going to have some fights, because you cannot be impossible and be bad at war. That's an impossibility. They're mutually exclusive. And God's got to get you used to fighting for some things. The next couple of things that come up, God's not going to let you walk away, and you're going to have to fight through them so you learn how to keep what he wants you to do. It's going to be amazing, but you're going to love it. Now, don't forget, call my office. They're going to give you the number at the end of the call. They always give it to me, and I always forget it. I always get the first six numbers and don't get the rest. But anyway, God is good. But listen, call. I want you to take that assessment, sweetheart, and don't let the enemy say you don't have the money. I don't care what you need to do. You need to go dig it up, get your coins. You know that little coin can. Get your coins and take that assessment, because you need to do this.
Amen.
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 I
love you, and I'm reading your book right now, and it's very powerful.
Amen. Well, listen, I want you to keep me posted, because we're going to watch over your journey for you to get what God needs you to be.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Who's next?
Jerry Baldonado, San Pedro.
All right, Jerry. It's just your turn, isn't it? How can I bless you, my brother?
Through January, I've been ill to the point where I've not been able to work. It's affected my finances, and I've reached a dire strait financially.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, I've kind of just not had the zeal for God that I once had, and been in contact with Apostle Emil, and my wife and I made a decision that we were going to send him our tithe, and when we did that, all hell broke loose. I've just not been able to work, and no work, no pay.
Okay, here's this. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now, and my first question to you is, what did you quit on God?
I'm sorry?
What did you quit? God gave you an assignment. You quit it abruptly. What was it? God said he gave you something to take through to completion, and you abruptly quit it. Whether you quit it because of a family crisis, whether you quit it because of a job opportunity, but you left a work undone.
Yeah, I basically stopped going to church and put family.
Did you also?
I'm
say
sorry?
It again. I didn't hear you.
Well, my wife and I stopped going to church because of family obligations and stuff, and so we kind of just got cold in not making attendance to church and stuff.
Okay, and yet you were a man with a destiny and a call and a purpose. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And you knew what it was. Right, yeah. And so then you decided, because God broke your heart because he was breaking your will, you got your feelings got hurt, you just stopped going. And God wants you to know that you and he don't have that kind of relationship. You understand that to whom much is given, much is required, and you
yes.
were given a lot. And you begin to act like a saint in the pew, forgetting that you were an agent of the kingdom.
Yes.
So let me tell you how this is going to play out for you. Number one, you're going to have to go and give God some time. And God said he wants 8 days of prayer from you.
Okay.
No less, he said, and I don't want your wife, I want you.
All right.
So that's the first thing. However you do it, that's between you and the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you, that's the first thing he wants is 8 days of prayer. You are going, you were slated for a Nehemiah assignment, and you jumped ship too soon. So God now wants to clean up your heart, clean up your family, and clean up your life, because he's going to put you back into his service. But you're going to find that before it would have been easy. This time you're going to have to work for this. First by grace, then by work. That's the next thing he wants you to know. The following thing is, you're going to have to tell your wife she did not call your ministry.
Okay.
And you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes.
Because let me tell you something, there are some ministries God gives those spouses a whole lot of voice in, and there's some that they don't. Your ministry, your wife has no voice in. And you're going to have to prepare that if you're going to keep her and she's going to stay alive on the planet and you're going to prosper as a husband and a father, she's going to have to silence her opinion.
Okay.
Because you love deeply. And she doesn't know what she did to break your heart when she pressed you to have to wrestle with God. You love deeply, but you're also a man of great responsibility. And so God is literally, God is just reacting to the fact that you put him second. His feelings are hurt. And so that's just what he feels. And he also knows that because of the field that he's sending you to, because there's a field you're going to, because I'm going to tell you something, I don't know what your founder is doing, but I know that you ought to finish that work in a greater way. And so because of the field that he's sending you to, God cannot have you being cavalier with his instructions, and he cannot have you making him number two. Now, I'm looking back in your time, and I hear the Holy Ghost telling you, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other God before me. He told you I'm not going to be number two. He told you that. He told you he's going to be first. And in your life, God's going to be number one or none. You have to realize that God's eternal, so he can wait you out. He's not going to die. He's not going to get old, you know, and he's not going broke. So he can wait you out. We can wait you out, but you were precious to God. You and God had a time. There was a regular season you gave him every day. Then you gave him a season, and God says to tell you, I missed that. And that's all he wants you to know. I missed that. You were groomed. You were being trained. You were eager. I mean, nobody could touch you in the Holy Ghost. And so he wants you to know that he is real, that he wasn't a religion. He wasn't the institution. He's a real person. He said, and I miss my man because you are his son. And he said, I miss you. I miss the you that I groomed for a purpose. And you reached a place in God where God was just about ready to catapult you, and you got talked out of it. You know, I have a philosophy to say most people quit God 30 days too soon. God misses you, but he misses your trust and your faith in him. Because up until you got to this particular juncture that did it, you didn't let anybody talk you out of God. Now, let me tell you something that I do know. Can I just say this? Are you still on the line with me? Jerry? Are you on mute? Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. I know, because you love the Lord. See, I can feel the passion you have for God. It's overwhelming, isn't it?
Yes.
You love him. And he loved you with that same weight. He wants you to feel how much he loves you and how deeply he misses you. You are important to this man, and he thinks very highly of you. But you have to recognize the only way God could pay you was in his service. There was no place else. Now I want to say one other thing, and I really, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm not even going to say it on the phone. I'm going to have you call my office because I want to give you the rest of this. Because I do know the reason why you're going through. And I know it very vividly, but I'm going to cover you in that reason. And I'm going to ask that you call my office. Is that all right?
Yes.
And I want to finish this because for you, this is a profound season. You really should have made this call. This is a profound overture on the part of the Holy Ghost to get you back online. So will you call my office?
I will call your office when?
She's going to give you the number. You're going to call. She'll give us you the number at the end of the call, and I want to finish this because I'm telling you I know precisely what happened, even with your tithe.
Gosh.
Okay? And I want to finish this because, but in the meantime, you and God start working on kissing and making up.
Oh.
Okay? All right, let me pray, because, see, I know you're a wreck right now, so I'm just going to pray and move on to the next call. Father, thank you so much for this mighty, mighty, mighty minister of the gospel, this mighty messenger of truth, and this stalwart soldier and warrior. God, I thank you for that. Lord, I'm thanking you that you created this window to get your son back in your bosom, to get him back into your heart and back into your purpose, your will, and your destiny. God, I bless you for this man, and I bless you for your steadfast love for us, that your mercies are new every morning, and that they never fail, God. I thank you for that, God, because if it wasn't for your mercies, not one of us could wake up the next day and look up to heaven with peace and joy in our heart. So I thank you for this man. God, I thank you for the way you're going to bring this life around, and I thank you, God, for putting a renewed faith in him. I mean a renewed faith in him, and a powerful, powerful fulfillment of his calling and his destiny. Now, Lord, I'm celebrating your reunion. I'm celebrating your reparations. I'm celebrating your reconciliation with this man, with this powerful officer of the kingdom. And I bless you, Lord, from this day forward, that he will never misconstrue your grace or misorder your priorities for his life. And I thank you for it. I give peace to the wife and peace to the family. I dispatch peace to that house in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I dispatch peace on the family. God, I thank you that you're going to raise up right now donors who are going to literally press money in their hands and raise up opportunities for him to get back in the race and to run that race with patience according to the rules. And so, God, I say, by the Spirit of the living God, I put you back on duty in the kingdom of Christ. Now, you make that call because we've got to finish it.
Okay, who do I make the call to?
Huh?
Who do I make the call to?
Well, she's going to give you the number, and they're going to connect you with me, and we're going to talk for about 10 more minutes.
Okay, hon.
Fair enough?
Fair enough. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Who's next?
Sharon Woodworth.
Okay. Now, what's the first? I got to get the first name. Who was the first name?
Keandra. Jerry.
Yes.
Keandra, you back on the line with me, girl?
Yes.
And who was the other person?
Tia.
Say it again.
Tia.
Tia. Okay, yes, now, Tia, yes. Where are you from?
Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Okay, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Okay, and listen, Keandra, where are you from? Because you haven't heard from you for a while.
Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Yes.
Yeah, and that tough man. Okay, how can I bless you today, Kat?
Who, me?
You're first. Yes, you're first.
Oh, sorry. Just prayer because I'm ready to change jobs and move.
Amen. Okay, and so listen, what kind of job do you want me to pray for, sweetheart?
Anything with administration I'm good at.
Okay.
I've been applying for jobs for the city of Connecticut for administrative.
But you're saying you're moving, so you're going to move out of Connecticut?
Oh, just move jobs and move where I'm at now, living, the place where I live at now.
Father
but stay in Connecticut, but just move.
Okay. Father God, thank you for Keandra. Thank you for her belief in you and her turning to you in her times of need, God. And I thank you for her faithfulness and determination, her resolve with you. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you would open up the personnel resources in her region. God, I speak to your agents of employment in her region. And God, we open and create a place for her, and we create an opening for her that she can get the job that she has the best skills for and that she's paid commensurately with those skills in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the favor, both for the place that she's going to and every place that you don't want her to work. Lord, let them not even accept her into their presence in Jesus' name, that she will land where you have decreed she land. And God, thank you for sending her at the appropriate time, at the appropriate place, under the appropriate authority, that your will may be done in her life and not frustrated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank
Amen.
You.
You're welcome. Let me know. Hey, Tia, you're next.
Hey, thank you so much. I just had a question for you. How can you be sure if you believe you recognize like a Jezebel spirit within an individual within the ministry that you're dealing with and you've confronted it with leadership? I've heard that if leadership does not receive it, that you should pray to where as far as moving on. And how do you know that you have no trace of yourself or yourself that you think that you may be in someone else?
Okay, let me ask you a question. What are you calling the Jezebel spirit?
Just a control and manipulative spirit. It's almost, the funny part about it is there's like a copycat type thing, a mimicking, a separation of with leadership. It's just a division.
Okay. Well, is this your experience of this spirit? Is it through leadership or is it through another member of the church? What is it?
It's through leadership, one of the members of leadership in the church.
Okay, now are they your leader?
In a sense, they're not the pastor, but they are one of the elders.
So one of the elders that you report to in the church, you feel is working in a Jezebel spirit?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and you have gone to your leadership, you've gone to the pastors, and they've ignored you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you two more questions because I like to answer the right questions. So I'm going to ask you two more questions. What is it that you do in the church, and what started this particular behavior that is troubling you?
In the current church, I'm a minister. Before this church, I was an ordained elder. And
You're the ordained elder? They ordained you as an elder in the church?
Not in the church that I'm in now. Previously, I was an ordained elder. In this church, I'm a licensed minister.
Okay, so in this church, you're a licensed minister. And does that mean you have less or more duties and authority?
Yes, ma'am.
You have less or more?
Oh, I have less.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm understanding how this works. Now, what is the behavior that you say started this?
It started with, it actually started out pretty nice. It started out as welcoming, but a constant, almost like a nasty, nice something. And once I actually got in and a part of leadership, it became more of like a tearing down, like
okay.
a constant tearing down, twisting of words, of actions, isolation. You know, we've had a couple of sit-downs, and it's been just a twisting and just a, gosh.
So what did you do? Well, you said it started off nice, so what did you do to trigger this?
I'm sorry, what did I do to do what?
What did you do to trigger this, the change in your behavior and your change in your relationship?
I was called out in the ministry as a prophet.
Oh, you were called out in the ministry of the prophet. So what does that mean? Does that mean you were prophesying when they didn't want you to, or you gave a word they didn't like?
No, it's that I was just recognized as a prophet in the ministry, and that's when I noticed that the different things started happening.
Oh, wonderful. Now we're there. See, I'm there. I'm clear. You know, because great did they persecute the prophets that were before you. You ain't good company. You ain't real good company. Girlfriend, you ran to the head of the class. Hallelujah. So you changed your station. Somebody recognized you as a prophet. You went from being a licensed minister to a recognized prophet in the church, and the elders, one of the elders doesn't like it. That's pretty much what you're saying.
Thank
now,
you.
So your pastor's called you out as a prophet. So your pastor recognized you as a prophet.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so let me tell you what you're expecting and what's not going to happen. Okay? You're expecting that this is going to be the call that catapults you to the top. Let me tell you about your pastors and their elders. The first thing you need to know is that they just recognize you as a prophet, and they have an existing established elder. That's number one. So they're not looking to upset their leadership just because they discovered your gift. So that's the first thing I want you to get clear on. So if you set yourself up in a combat with this person, you're going to lose. Because the way it is I've got a right arm, or I've got a seasoned person who can get a thing done for me, and I've got this other person with this intermittent ministry that means intermittent value. So that's number one. I want you to get clear on this because this is very important. I'm going to tell you how to win this. So the first thing you want to do is that. The second thing is God is permitting this because if you're going to be prophetic, guess what you're going to deal with? A lot of people who don't like you. We carry a flame. You carry a flame that's already going to be antagonistic. So God is getting you used to the real world. You are in an object lesson for prophetic ministry. So that's the second thing I want to tell you. Goes with the territory. Anybody who's ever done it has gone with it. The third thing, the number one duty of a prophet is prayer and intercession. So if you can't pray this thing down and pray it away, you're not worthy of the call. Because you've got to pray the peace back in that situation. Because if you can't do it for you, you won't be able to do it for the king in the body. So all of this for you, beloved, is good stuff. This is good training. Because this is strength training. And this is respect training. So the strength of your mantle is growing through every hit you take, that you do not retaliate, and you go in your prayer circle and you begin to use your mantle to overturn this thing. God, give me peace with this person. God, I bind the spirit that is using this person against me. God, I create a bridge between us. Lord, I don't care what it is. And the nastier they are, the sweeter you're going to be, because you're going to control them by the spirit and not in the flesh. Is that clear to you?
Yes, ma'am.
You are called to an office that rules from the back. You roll from the back. You're, in other words, you're the one that's going to clean it up before the next group gets ahead. Then you're going to put your stuff back again. That's how great this call. Because we have taught everybody that the prophetic is about us yakking, we don't learn the other powers of the office and other powers of the mantle. Your power is supposed to be in the spirit more than anything else. When you look at your prophets in the Bible, when they went through, they still maintained their influence. They just did not have public respect. But when God got ready to change power, he went to the prophet changed power in a little corner in the back on the side, nobody knew, changed the power, went on back into hiding, and in effect arranged the transition of power or the resolution of issues in the kingdom.
Okay.
So if you're looking for a whole lot of face-to-face public acclaim, I'm sorry, that's not how this ministry works. It works as a... Literally, it's God's espionage system. It works from in the back and underground. And I'm going to tell you something. And the prophet that needs all of that FaceTime and that public talk is not a prophet. Because the more you rise in this kingdom, the more you shut up and get to the back and stay in the prayer closet. Because you learn the power of your words to disturb things and to authorize spirits you don't mean. See, when you get to this level, the level that you're in, when you have engaged it, you know, the rule is that you are also measured by the strength of your enemy. So if you are pulling up this kind of opposition, you're going up high, baby.
Amen.
Can we agree on that?
Yes, ma'am.
So I want you to know. Now, you're another one. I want you to take my assessment. And then this is what I want you to do. I want you to take my assessment. And then I want you to make arrangements to talk with my chief prophet. She's going to coach you through some of this. And when you get that number at the end, that's what you're going to do. Because you need somebody to give you that real-world stuff. Because there are some things that you learn in the trenches you cannot learn in the classroom. And you are being pulled into trench warfare.
Uh-huh.
And you've got to win, baby. You've got to win it. And I think that you're the person that once you understand how the game is played, you play to win. And I believe that the next time I hear from you, you're going to have a praise report and a testimony.
Amen.
I do believe that of you. Am I mistaken?
No, ma'am, you're not.
All right, so let me pray your strength. I want you to do two things. I want you to take that assessment, and I want you to connect with the chief prophet here because she's going to give you that those warfare strategies you need. Because, baby, God is doing this on purpose. This is your boot camp. This is your training for boot camp. And if you cannot turn this little situation around, you don't have a hope of being able to represent an organization. And don't think your pastors are not observing you to see how you handle this. And if you need them to come in and fight your battle for you, shame on you. Okay? Now, I know I'm blunt, but I can be blunt because I'm an apostle, and I've been there, done that, and I know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, this is good for you. This is good news.
Yes, ma'am.
Father, thank you in Jesus' name for who you are, God, and I thank you for Tia. I thank you for a new prophet that's in the making. I thank you for a new God coming in the ranks. I thank you for a new warrior coming in the battle. And I thank you, Lord, for a new guide who's going to shed the light and point the way. Now, Lord, I praise you. I'm not going to ask you to lift her battles because she doesn't need them lifted, but I'm asking you to give her the strength to war, the wisdom to war, the power to get it done. God, we don't want her to punk out. We don't want her to bow out, and we don't want her to take low. God, in the name of Jesus, we say this president will not be run out of the office, but she will rise on the flames and rise up.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
And rise on the fire in Jesus'
name.
Thank you, Jesus. We decree it, sir. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Glory to God. All right, do what I tell you to do. I got time for one more, and then we got to
Sherry.
Go. Who's next? Who?
Sherry.
Terry?
Yeah.
Sherry, yes.
Terry.
Yes.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi.
How can I bless you?
I am in a season where I'm trying to understand what it is that God is doing with me right now. there's a lot of things that have gone on, like moving from place to place to place to place. And I finally am in a place that I've been now for a year, but it's not the final place. I'm renting a room, and I'm wanting my own place, but I've been kind of stuck financially and haven't been able to get my own place, which I really want badly because I know that I need the time to be able to get before God, because I know there's some things that should be taking place and are getting ready to take place, and I want to get before Him to find that out, but I'm not in a situation that's really conducive for me to have that quietness, to have that space really that I need other than just my little room. And but that's just a part of it. And in addition to that, there are some things that I know that are supposed to happen, including the man of God that He has for my life. But I've been waiting for 15 years. The Lord showed him to me, told me about him 15 and a half years ago, and I didn't get an opportunity to at least say hi to him until 6 or 7 months ago, and that's all that's happened. It's all this waiting, all this stuff of waiting, 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 and I don't understand all that. and wanting to progress and not knowing what my next steps are, even in, I'm writing a book right now, and that's going well, and so I know that I'm supposed to be doing that, but as far as how everything else fits together, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing with you, Sherry. First of all, if you need a mansion to talk to God, we already suck. Because if you
I need a mansion. I just
Sherry, I listen to you. You're going to listen to me.
Okay.
Because let me at least finish my statement before you respond.
Sure. All right.
All right? Here's the thing. If you're going to be used of God and God's going to send you to a long trip, guess what? You're going to be in a lot of one-room hotel rooms. Okay? If He sends you to other countries, you might not even get a whole room. You might get a little piece of room. Okay? I mean, you might not even get that. So here's what I'm saying. The trials of our life track 100% with the path of our calling. You will never be tried outside of how God's going to use you. Everything you do in this ministry has to do with how God is preparing you to thrive in the environment of the calling and the destiny you have. Now, whether that's your personal destiny or whether it's your destiny as a spouse, but you need to recognize, that's why God keeps saying, be thankful and praise me in all things. You know, if you are a person who is just going to sit around and do nothing for God, you need to have this or that. But that's the next thing. The Holy Spirit is emphatically saying to you is that He wants you to get good at abasing and abounding. In other words, there's no perfect circumstances to do Jesus. We don't have a perfect world, and there are no perfect circumstances. God wants you to bless Him if He puts you in a teacup or a temple. He wants you to bless Him. He wants you to know that He has your best interest at heart. He has your best plans ahead. And it cannot be about, well, God, I can pray better if I'm in the right place. Let me tell you something. You pray to God from the place of your heart. Or, God, I can feel better if I'm stretched out. And I don't want to be in a room. And, God, at this point in my life, I shouldn't be downgraded to a room. I shouldn't be. Sweetheart, I'm telling you, God is literally shaping you for the master's use. And He's dealing with those things, especially with all of the privileges that you may have had in the past and all of the opportunities in the past. But God wants us to get good, because here's the story. I want to give you the story because I got to wrap it up and get out of here. But I'm going to tell you something. David was the king, and when his son cut up, he had to go underground and leave his palace. Now, what was he going to do? Well, in order to save the kingdom. And he said, well, if this is where God thinks I need to be right now, then I'm going to bless God for being here. And when God got done with David, and he moved the terror and opposition out of the way, because in effect he was saving David's life so that he can keep the kingdom. So when he hit him underground, he hit him from his enemy. And I want you to understand that God is hiding you from your opposition and from your enemy. And in the midst of it all, He is grooming you for the master's use, but also wanting you to develop and cultivate the attitude of one who cannot be defeated by circumstances and cannot be taken out by illusions. And that is what God is doing in your life. You're going to have to get good at not letting your surroundings dictate your power. And you're going to be good at not letting the ups and downs of life be weapons of warfare against you. David was put underground because he had to be hidden from his enemies, and he also understood God well enough to know that if God could have kept him in public, he'd have put him in public. And if God could do better with him underground, he'd do better with him underground. So the whole thing, even the waiting thing, God is making you wait on purpose, because here's what I want you to know. You are a powerful woman. You are willful. You are headstrong. You are decisive. You are accomplished, and you are capable. And God wants you to know all of that came from me, but here's how this is not going to go. You will not manipulate the Lord Almighty. Because he said to tell you, I made you. You didn't make me. And he needs you to win. Now, I can tell you right now, I know exactly the arena you're going to end up in. I can see where you're going to go in God. But God needs to know that when you go, that they don't get more of you than him. So you are going to love the Lord and eat your little bread the way it is if you want to win. Because you can, you know, you can be miserable, but I just think that you're a winner. I think you're a natural winner, and that's why this is hard for you. But I'm telling you, beloved, and you are, I'm so glad you called. I really wish I could hug your neck right now, because I'm excited about you. But I'm telling you, this is what God is doing. You are, David had to go underground, and so that when Satan comes against you in your success, you won't care, because you can take him on whatever level he wants to engage you. That is the word of the Lord to you today.
Thank you.
You are very welcome, beloved. Very welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay? You are a master in what you do, but God wants you to understand that you are a master made by the Master of Masters.
Amen.
And so, and listen, let me know about the book. Call me again sometime and tell me about your book and all of that. If you want to get more counsel, you can call my office. To all of you who are on the line, if you want to get more counsel, call my office. We have a staff of prophets and prophetic advisors that can speak to you and pray with you. We also have intercessors if you want to get more personal attention in prayer. Before I go, I'm going to pray for each and every one of you because, you know, I love you dearly. Understand, I want everybody to win. I work with winners, and we are the winning team. Father, thank you for everybody that called in today. I'm asking that you would have your way in each and every life. God bless each and every person on the phone. I lift up the prayers that they had, even those that get through. I give them access to your ear and audience at your desk. God, I thank you that you would grant every petition according to your righteousness, your wisdom, and your holiness. Lord, I thank you for these people. I right now dispatch peace for every one of your lives and providence to watch over you and protection to keep you as you're coming and going. And Lord, I thank you that until we get together next week, each and every one of them will be held up by the angels aside to their life so that they don't dash their feet against the stone. And Lord, I bless you for them. Listen, I love each and every one of you. Hang on the line so that Prophet Ashley can tell you how to reach me.
Woo, praise God. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
We've got the support team here in Tulsa. If you do want to reach us, call 877-649-7764. That number will be reposted online with the link to listen to this prayer call again or download it and share it with the world. I think the last 5 minutes, it's like the last 5 minutes of a good movie when they tell you don't get up, don't go to the bathroom, because you never know what you're going to miss. On these calls, go to drpaulaprice.com. From there, you will be able to click the link that says take an assessment, contact us. If you send us an email, we will receive it from there. It'll pop open a window for you to do that to our administrative email account. So God bless you. We look forward to hearing from you next week, and be on the lookout for the link to listen to this later and share it. We've gotten so many testimonies this week of people sharing this counsel with their friends. So God bless. And see it. Well, hear you next time.
Amen.
You are invited to join Dr. Paula Price in the Chicago area April 19th and 21st at Antioch Christian Assembly, where she will be celebrating Presiding Apostle Nona Parker in honor of her 13 years in ministry. That's Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, April 21st at 2 p.m. For more information, contact Antioch Christian Assembly International at 815-727-0122 or email info@antiochcaci.org. Do you love listening to Dr. Price live but wish you could see her in person? Well, we'd like to invite you to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, June 27th through 29th. This dynamic prophetic event goes beyond your typical ministry conference, bringing prophets and prophetic types together to develop, train, equip, and empower. Early bird registration is $99 for individuals and runs through May 15th. For more information or to register online, visit TulsaPropheticForum.wordpress.com or call 877-419-1299. We'll see you there.